Would you turn, please, in God's Word tonight to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 18. Old-time gospel campaign. Beautiful new tent. Not a bit of dirt on it. No sinking down into the mire of grass that's soaking wet. No hard back forms. Lovely, comfortable chairs. My, the changes that have come to gospel campaigns and tents. I can remember a time that we had our first tent campaign in Portadown. It's in the Killigamane Estate. Mr. McRae preached that at one of the nights, 1974. And the crowds became too large for the smallest tent that we had. So we had to get another tent and join it. And my, what weather it was, something like this weather. And you could see we put a kind of a little bit of piping up to try to catch the water, but it managed to get down into the tent, and a lot of people got soaked. They certainly didn't sit in the same place for this. They made sure that they had to sit maybe out in the car. They weren't going to sit in certain places in that tent in case they got soaked. But it's lovely to see the comfort that there is in such blustery conditions. And especially to see so many people who have come out tonight for the first weeknight of the campaign. I was asked whenever I was coming in tonight, how long ago was it that Mr. McRae and I had the mission around these parts before? It was in May 1983, 21 years ago and a little bit. And I suppose we have a second generation of people here now, people married, rearing families, now, and they themselves may be just toddlers at that particular time. But it's lovely to be here. And I'm not going to go over all what Mr. McRae has said about the mission. Everything he said is right with regards to prayer and working hard for the meetings. You may not be able to take a public part, but we can all invite and tell people about the meetings and endeavor to bring them along. Speaking to the minister of one of our churches, it would be a much smaller congregation than this. This is quite a number of years ago, just before I went to do a gospel campaign there. And he was telling me there was one man in his congregation that had a special friend night service, spring of friend night. And this one man brought 17 people into the church that never would have come near a Free Presbyterian church. That's what one man could do. And I'm sure that over a period of a couple of weeks here, we, if we put our minds to it, can see great things happening, even by getting people in. And once they're brought in, we want to pray for them. The meetings are here to reach people. The singing, testimonies, if there are those, the preaching of God's Word. And we hope that you will work hard for the meetings. And may God bless that lovely singing to us tonight from Rodney and Helen. It has been so good to hear both lovely pieces, and the very first piece to sing is actually the theme and what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. So the Lord has been working unknown to the both of us, or the three of us I should say. All due respects, Helen. We're turning to Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he, that is the Lord Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter. We keep God's word open before us, and let's bow together in prayer. you love the Lord, you're a Christian, would you pray now that God would bless the preaching of the gospel of Christ to those who are without Christ, who are not saved, that have gathered with us tonight. Father, we thank Thee for the mission service already. Thank You for the congregational singing and for the duet, the messages and song of Thy servant. We pray that Thou will bless this public reading of Thy holy word. We thank Thee for the reading of Scripture. We remember the very reading of Scripture at the water gate in the days of Nehemiah meant so much to the people gathered. And may it mean so much to us now. And O God, for the preaching, I pray. Lord, I need Thy mighty power. It's not enough just to be orthodox, though that is important and necessary. It's not enough to have a good manner, and I would long for that. But O God, we could have all of these things and be devoid of the power of God that results in the conviction of sin, the enlightening of the mind, and the converting of the soul. Grant the power of the Holy Ghost to descend in our meeting now. And may we all have that experience that Peter and those who were with him in the home of Cornelius long ago experienced, that the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Help me now, Lord, and grant this mighty power and do a mighty work in our midst here in these remaining minutes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In these words that we have read and listened to, we have the account of one of the many miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's one of several miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ wrought on blind people. But it's not so much the miracle that I want us to look at tonight. It's actually a statement with regard to the whole incident. And it's found in verse 37. And they told him, that's this blind man who in his darkness wondered what the tumult was about, wondered what was happening, and whenever he was told that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming by, he began to cry out. He says, if I can get to him, if I can get his ear, there's hope for me. There's hope for you and me too, for the very same reason. Because just as Jesus of Nazareth passed by throughout Jericho and on his way to Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago in this incident, I want to say to you that he is passing by in this area tonight and throughout the time of this gospel campaign. There are several things then with regard to this great truth that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and that is, first of all, his availability. The fact that he passed by that day, and even though the man was blind, yet he had become available to that man in his need. Now, notice, first of all, the person who is available. Sometimes in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of David. In fact, this man, in the midst of all his physical blindness, when he heard that it was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, he realized, this is the Son of David. This is the Messiah. And he had confidence in that. He called him the Son of David, as did the woman of Canaan. To the believing disciple, he was known as the Son of God. But to this crowd that answered the query of this man, all he was to them was Jesus of Nazareth. There is just a common appellation there. Just Jesus who resided in the town of Nazareth. That's what he was known by. But the discerning eye saw something else. I wonder tonight, as we have gathered here for this meeting, and you know that these meetings in this gospel mission are convened for the purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified and that he may become your Savior. Just exactly who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Is he the Son of God? Is he the mighty God? Is he the altogether lovely one? Is he the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Is he the bread of life, the water of life? Is he the chiefest among 10,000? Or is he just Jesus of Nazareth? You may recall, way back in Old Testament days, whenever the Passover was going to take place, the instructions given to Moses to give to the people were that they were to take a lamb. And then later on down that chapter, that a lamb became the lamb, something more particular than being generally a lamb. And then later on in the chapter, a lamb, which had become the lamb, now becomes your lamb. And this is what we're longing for you, that the one who is known as the Savior of sinners, the one who is known as the Lord God Almighty, may become your personal Savior, your personal Lord and Master. I want you to notice something else. There's not only the person mentioned here, but there is the presence. He was passing by. He might have been going on his way. He may not have stayed for any length of time, as the narrative will tell us. But the point remains, the fact still stands, that he was present among that crowd and very near to that blind man and all his need. He was passing by. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not always going to be here. This mission will be over in a couple of weeks' time. But let it be understood that he is here now. His presence is with us in this very tent. You remember what he said himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Making himself available to the people. Elsewhere he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Again, making himself available to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, he's making himself available to you tonight in all of your need. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We learn that the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's his availability. May I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is always available to sinners whenever the gospel is preached. When that lovely message of God's redeeming and reconciling love through the sufferings and bloodshedding and anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is preached, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. Could I also say that in God's providential dealings, that he's there, he's available too? Maybe you do not belong to the church that's organizing this mission. Maybe you're just here tonight as a visitor. Maybe you've come at the invitation of a friend or a family member. You might usually be elsewhere on a Monday night, and coming to a gospel mission in an old tent would be the last thing that you would think of if left to yourself. Have you not thought that perhaps providence is in this? I remember reading of a certain man in Dublin. This is way back in the 19th century, ever before there was the partition of Ireland, when it was under Britain. There was a businessman left his home around the London area to come over to Ireland, as it was then, to do business. He was feeling a bit lonely and missing his loved ones, and he decided to go out on the street one night, and he went into a gospel meeting. There was a large billboard advertisement and announcing a certain preacher. And that man went in, and the word of God was with such power that night that it laid hold upon that man, and he got wonderfully converted, and he stayed behind afterward to see the preacher. And whenever they were talking to one another, do you know what they discovered? That the man who was the preacher lived about a quarter of a mile away from the man who was living on the outskirts of London. Just a few minutes' walk, and they had never met each other before, and it was in a different country that they met, and the one led the other to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you're here as a guest or as a visitor. But for you, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Providence has brought you into his path. But notice very quickly in the second place, not only does this truth show to us the availability of the Lord Jesus to this man, but it also shows us his opportunity. Now, whenever this man heard the commotion, there must have been a large number of people about. The man in his darkness couldn't see. He knew the crowd was about. And if you follow the sequence, you'll find that there was a great crowd went into Jericho with the Lord Jesus. And there was a great crowd outside Jericho at this particular juncture. And the man could hear all of this and he would say, "Hey, what's going on here? Tell me, what's happening?" And so the people said, "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And once the man heard that, "What? Get me to him." And he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." An opportunity for what? First of all, for his sight to be obtained. Once he heard that it was Jesus, he had known something about him. He was more than Jesus of Nazareth. He knew that this was the Messiah. The Son of David was a messianic title. And he realized if he was the Messiah, he's the deliverer. He gives sight to the blind. He can help me. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, do you know what the word Jesus means? The word Jesus means Savior. You remember whenever he was about to be born, the angel came to Joseph and all of Joseph's bewilderment at the way things were happening. And the angel said, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." And he went on to explain what was happening. And then he said about this babe, the Lord Jesus, that was about to be born of Mary. He says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And tonight, my dear friend, there's an opportunity for you because the Savior is passing by. The Savior who can save you from the penalty of your sins, which is the wrath of God and condemnation, which will finally issue in hell. He can save you from the pollution of your sins as well, because sin carries with it defilement and uncleanness. He'll save you from the very power of your sin, the grip of habit that chains you and binds you to the things that you don't want to do, but you find yourself doing. On one glorious day, the Savior will save you from the very presence of sin itself. This man realized, if I can only get in contact with him, I'll get my sight. Maybe tonight there is really nothing beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ that you see why so many people get excited about, why preachers get fired up and enthused, why people travel so far to come to meetings like this, why people get dressed and come out and sing and testify and do lots of other things, why people spend time praying. You might see nothing marvelous about the Lord Jesus. But if you will listen to the gospel and let your heart be open to the word of God, God can remove the blindness from you. It happened to the Apostle Paul. He could see no beauty in the Lord that he should be desired, but the Lord eventually took the scales from his eyes. There was sight to be obtained. There was salvation to be experienced. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him in addition to what he had done for him in giving him his sight. Verse 42, Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Not only did he have his sight given to him, but he received and experienced the salvation of his soul. What a transformation had come into the man's life that day. He got more than he ever had sought for. You see, tonight, if you were to become a Christian, you would not only have your soul saved, you would not only have your sins forgiven, but you would have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You would have the assurance that it is well with your soul. You would have the peace of God that passeth all understanding to keep your heart and mind
And you would have that as soon as you have peace with God, the enmity being removed. These are the things that God wants to give you tonight, and He's able to give you. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, He's coming through this tent tonight to give you this wonderful salvation, to open the eyes of your understanding. And once you become a Christian, you'll find something true. I remember before I was converted, I fought it for months. Never wanted to have anything to do with Christianity. Never was hard on people who were Christians. Never would have made fun of them. But I didn't want anything to do with the way they lived. But the Lord was working in my life and convicting me. And one glorious evening, He saved me at my own bedside. But you know what I found? Before I was converted, Christ meant nothing to me. But after that, He has meant everything to me. I was serving my time as an apprentice fitter. And I remember walking out of the mechanic shop where I worked, went across the yard into a bit of a field, waste ground, where there was an incinerator burning all the rubbish and a lot of junk lying around. And I was going out of the mechanic shop to go over there and to empty the stuff. And I looked at that place, and the words of that lovely hymn, "Love with Everlasting Love," came into my mind, especially the second verse. Oh, it's tremendous. That verse which speaks about flowers with deeper beauty shine, birds with gladder songs overflow. Oh, it was tremendous. The very place looked like the Garden of Eden. What a change. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was in my heart and life. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, He can do the same for you tonight. He can change you completely. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What an opportunity for you. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Would you notice in the next place, think about this with me, we have seen the availability with Jesus of Nazareth passing by, and the opportunity with Jesus of Nazareth passing by. But notice the urgency with Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Let me emphasize that word, passeth. He's going on. As we read the background to all of this, we will learn that the Lord Jesus Christ was on His way to the cross. The timber may well have been lying in some lumber yard around Jerusalem for the cross upon which He was going to be impaled. The thorns were certainly ready to be pulled and broken off and woven in to that crown and pressed down upon His brow. The soldiers were certainly getting into the mood for roughing up a prisoner put into their care. The high priest and his cohorts and the religious establishment were certainly planning the demise of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was all going to happen in a few days' time. He would not always be around. That man, when he realized that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, said within himself, "I need to get to Him. He'll not be here always." And so, for you tonight, my dear friend, all this urgency about this. Whenever D.L. Moody, the famed American evangelist of a generation long gone by, was preaching in a church, he conducted his campaigns in great halls and tabernacles, but he was in a church at this particular time conducting a mission. And a number of people were converted this particular night. And he was standing in the church afterward, and most of the lights were out. There was just enough light left on to allow him and the folk he was speaking to converse. When one of the workers with whom Mr. Moody was speaking turned round, he noticed a young boy sitting away at the back pew, a young fellow about 18 years of age. And they went down to this young man and said,
We never noticed in the building, young man. Is there anything we can do for you? And the young man said, I would like to talk to Mr. Moody, sir. And D.L. Moody came down and said, can I do anything for you? He says, Mr. Moody, I just remained behind. I couldn't put my hand up tonight when the others did, but I really want to be saved, and I don't want to leave here until you show me how to become a Christian. I want to put my trust in Christ tonight. Moody said, son, I'll gladly do that. And in a few minutes, Moody took out the Word of God, prayed with him, read the Scriptures, got the young man to pray with Moody. He prayed the sinner's prayer, trusted Christ as his Savior, and left the meeting radiant, 18 years of age. They were back for the meetings the next night, and word was sent round to Mr. Moody before the meeting started. Mr. Moody, do you remember the young man that came to Christ before the church closed last night? Yeah. That young man's in eternity. What happened? The word was that he went out to work at a lumber place and there was an explosion. And the explosion claimed the young man's life. And Moody says, well, did he say anything before he died? He said there were people who were there heard him keep saying over and over again these words, I'm glad I settled it last night. I'm glad I settled it last night. The Lord Jesus Christ had been passing by that night. And for that young man, it would be the last time. But he didn't miss the Savior. He called on the Savior. And Christ had mercy upon him and saved his soul. He'd do the same for you. But ladies and gentlemen, there's urgency here. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There would soon be the departure of the Lord Jesus away from the area. And the future of this blind man lay in uncertainty until he acted with urgency and came to Christ. Well, there's one other thing I want you to notice. And with this we'll finish. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Availability, opportunity, urgency, and the remedy. Oh, I think this is tremendous. I want you to notice, first of all, the plea of this man. Once he heard who it was, he cried, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So there was the plea, first of all. You know what the Bible says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you've got to do tonight. Call in faith. Call in repentance and faith. The Bible says you'll be saved. It was the plea. It was his persistence. The crowd says, no, no, you can't do that. Don't be talking. Don't you be disturbing this Jesus of Nazareth as he's passing by. But the Bible tells us that this man cried all the more. In verse 39, he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. My, he was persistent. Then the Lord Jesus stopped and had him called over. He says, bring that man over to me. And he looked at the man and he said, what is it you want me to do for you? And the man says, I want my sight. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, receive thy sight. My, there was power. Power in the Word of God. The Bible tells us the man received his sight immediately. You don't have tonight to wonder if you can live a decent enough life and your good works outweigh your bad works, and at the end of the journey of life think the Lord will maybe take you in. You don't have to look at Christianity that way at all. That's false. All you've got to do tonight, friend, is turn from your sin. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Trust your life to Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you. He will keep you. He will uphold you. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And none shall pluck them out of my hand. The Lord will just speak the word. The Bible says we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And it's the Word of God that's being proclaimed tonight. And it's the Word of God that tells you that you need the Savior, and that if you believe in Him, put your trust in Him, don't depend on anybody else or anything else. The Bible says if you put your trust in Him, you will be saved. There's power in the Savior, power in the blood, power in the gospel, power in the word. It was his plea and his persistence and the power that he experienced. Notice the praise in which he engaged. Notice verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Oh, his heart was full. Try to imagine that man sitting in a world of darkness for so long, hearing that the Messiah was passing by, had faith to believe that the Lord Jesus could heal him, and called genuinely upon him, and found that the Lord did give him deliverance. And now he could see the blue sky above. He could see the green grass around. He could see the trees about. He could see all the faces of the people. Only his voice, their voices, he would have known in days gone by. And he looked into the lovely face of his kind benefactor, his deliverer, his Savior. What a thrill for that man. Is it any wonder he praised the Lord Jesus Christ? And listen, friend, it brought great pleasure to God, because we read that in the very end of that 43rd verse, when they, that's the crowd, saw it, they gave praise unto God. Do you know tonight, if you were to become a Christian, your life would be wonderfully transformed. You'd become a child of God and have these great things happen to you that I've already mentioned that are included in salvation, and we've only mentioned some of them. But you know something else? You could be the means of your wife or husband becoming a Christian tonight. Maybe your son or daughter, or even if you younger people were to get saved, maybe your brother or sister or father or mother. There's no telling what can happen when one person becomes a child of God. I was the first in our house growing up that professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother then came, 2 or 3 years later, then a younger sister and a still younger sister. And after that, my parents, who had professed faith whenever they were teenagers themselves, but never had lived the Christian life, but were great parents, they became committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to come tonight, friend, there's no telling the blessing that will follow for your home, your family, your own life. Will you come to Him? Will you remember that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by? He's not going to be here forever. Will you reach out to Him? Will you call to Him? Will you plead with Him? Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, the sinner. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we give thee our thanks tonight for the listening, the careful listening to thy word. We thank thee for the word of God itself that demands a listening and has a right to it. Thank you for this great text, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, we thank thee for being available to us. We thank you for the glorious opportunity that your passing by presents. But help us to see there is urgency here. And may we take the opportunity, experience the remedy that we need for our sin-stricken life. And may there be a turning to thee tonight. We pray this in thy holy name. Amen.